Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good, love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. That is Romans 12, verses 4 through 13. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and this is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. Our guest today is North Carolina foster and adoptive mom, Emily Wood. Emily and her husband Brandon are parents of three children, 10-year-old John Lucas, 3-year-old Henry, and 1-year-old Mitchell. Welcome to the show, Emily.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for taking the time and being willing to share your story. So let's begin at the beginning of your story. What led you and Brandon to adoption?
Well, many times when you hear adoption stories from couples, they talk about maybe always feeling called to adoption or something of that nature. But to be honest with you, that really was not my story. I originally did not want to adopt. I did not want to be involved with foster care. I wanted to get pregnant and give birth to children. And that was my plan. And I clung tightly to that plan for a really long time. But as we started trying to have children, it wasn't easy. We ended up going through a long journey with infertility. I went through a number of fertility treatments, and I ended up losing 4 pregnancies. And so as our time with fertility treatments kind of came to an end, our doctor started telling us we were going to have to look at other options. And just honestly, adoption was scary to me, especially adopting through foster care. I used to teach fourth grade, and dealing with Department of Social Services, I had a lot of stereotypes that I had about foster care, about the kids that are in foster care, and I wanted a baby, and I didn't want an older child. And then the funding for a private adoption was a scary thought as well for us. And so it took a lot for me. God had to do something really special to get me on board with adopting.
And what was that special thing that God did? What was the turning point that got you to say yes to adoption?
I was really having a hard time with letting go of my plan for how God wanted to create a family for us. And I was actually at a wedding in Charleston. My husband wasn't able to go to the wedding with me, but I was with my parents, and I received a phone call from my teacher's assistant that worked with me at the school. Her name's Donna, and she called me and told me before she even started, she said, "This is going to sound a little crazy," she said, "but my Sunday school teacher has met a family, and they're looking for a couple to adopt their baby." And she had told this man about me and my husband, Brandon, and she said, "Would you be willing to talk to him?" And I was, a little concerned, and it did seem a little crazy, but after talking to Brandon, we agreed to talk to him. And so I still remember this phone call like yesterday. I can tell you exactly where I was standing in my kitchen and where my husband was sitting, but we started talking. And as he's sharing, we learned that this baby was actually a little boy. And he tells us he's been in foster care for 2 years. And immediately, as he's telling me about this whole situation, I'm just quickly dismissing the whole idea. And I start thinking, man, if this child is in foster care, his mom must live in the county, and the child must have some problems because his family, foster family, doesn't want to adopt him. And so I decided I'd just ask how old the little boy was, because just out of curiosity, and he says, well, he's four. And so at that point, once again, I'm just still holding on to what I wanted. I wanted a baby, and this didn't match any of those things that I had been wanting. And so I tell people I did a Christian cliche thing to do. It's the thing you do when you're kind of trying to get out of a commitment gracefully. You don't really want to say no, but you definitely don't want to say yes. And so I said, well, you know, I'm just going to be praying for this little boy, that God will send him a family. And I kind of went a step further, and I said, do you happen to know the little boy's name? I'll be praying for him. And then the man that I was speaking to, he responded. He said, his name is John Lucas. And in that moment, I knew that somehow, in some way, God was going to use that little boy to forever change my life, because, as I told you previously, we've lost pregnancies, and when we would discuss children's names for our future child, the one name my husband and I had agreed on was John Lucas.
Mm.
And he had, this little boy has the very name, first and middle, that we had picked out. And so there's just so much more to the story. And if we had hours, I would share every detail, but I can tell you that God was in every single detail. And it wasn't. This wasn't what I had been praying for. This wasn't the plan that I had, but I knew through that name that God had a plan, and he was trying to get me to get on board. And once I did, I just can't explain to you the joy that came into our lives through the process. And I got the phone call in January. We started training classes in March. We met John Lucas in July. He moved in with us in October, and then we officially adopted him in May of the following year. And God was just in every detail and in every step. And to be honest with you, the social services caseworkers told us to make sure that we tell people that usually a situation doesn't happen like this. They even saw God's hand in this whole story with this child, and who is my son. I'm proud to say that.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful story. And definitely we can see God's hand in bringing your family together there. So in order to adopt John Lucas, you had to become licensed foster parents, something you really hadn't planned on doing, but you did that and you were able to adopt John Lucas. Did you go on to foster other children as well?
Well, actually, my heart was so hardened against foster care that even when we went through the adoption process, I'd originally told them, hey, we're just doing this to adopt this child, and then we're done. But because our names were on the list, because we had become a certified foster family, we were on the list of families to call, and we just started getting phone call after phone call about children who needed a place to go. And each and every phone call, it was just like God kept chiseling and chiseling my heart. And I would hang up we had agreed we would definitely wait so we could establish our family with John Lucas. But each and every time I had to hang up that phone and tell them no, my heart was just broken for these children. And so we agreed in a year's time we would start fostering. We would bring in another child into our home, despite all my fears, despite my fear of loving a child and sending the child home. All of those things, God just started giving me a peace about that and a comfort. And so exactly a year after we had, John Lucas had come to live with us, we brought in a little boy who was 11 months old, and we had him for almost a year. And we, God just taught us so much about loving children from hard places. He taught us about loving birth parents that are going through a crisis as well. And this child ended up going home. We were heartbroken, but God's been faithful in that. In the midst of fostering this little boy, I found out I was pregnant with no medicine.
Wow.
And we had Henry, who's my three-year-old. And so in addition to that, we still have a relationship with this little boy who is at home with his birth parents. And we have a relationship with his birth parents. And I cannot begin to tell you how much God has taught me through that relationship as well. And God, I always say, has just so much up his sleeve if we would just only let him show us. Because then after having Henry on his one-year birthday, I ended up finding I was pregnant again with no medicine, and I gave birth to Mitchell, who's my one-year-old. So,
wow. So now you have a full house.
Yes, ma'am. We have a full house.
Are you still fostering at this time, or are you waiting on getting back to that now that you have a house full of little ones?
Well, right now, my husband and I are licensed foster parents. We are still very much involved with our local social services, and actually tonight we are having a meal with all the foster families that are in our county, and we're in a different season, and that's kind of where my heart is with orphan care. Right now we can't bring in a foster care placement because we don't have any more room, and right now we don't feel that adoption is something that will be our next step. But we still have a part to play. We still need to do something is kind of where our hearts are. And so we have been really working hard in our community to advocate for orphan care and to just share the needs of our county with churches in this community. And then within our own church, it's just been so much fun to see how God has used our story and then some other foster families in our church just to help people come alongside and to support those who are adopting and who are in foster care.
And we want to get to all of that great information that you're going to share. I just want to remind our listeners, this is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and our guest today is North Carolina adoptive mom, Emily Wood. Emily, you shared with me that you had grown up in church ministry your whole life, but foster care and adoption was like an unseen world, and the Lord opened your eyes to it. So beyond fostering and adopting yourselves, tell us more about what you just started to share a little bit about what your church is doing, what you're doing in your community. Kind of go into the details of that.
Well, as you mentioned, my dad is a pastor, and actually my grandfather is a pastor, and my husband is a pastor as well. And so I have just been surrounded by church ministry my whole life. And I knew about foster care, I knew about adoption, but it wasn't till God just put us right in the middle of it that I really saw the need and saw how many kids do not have a family, how many kids in our country and around the world, and just how many misconceptions there are. I was guilty of it. It was the very reason why I didn't want to adopt. Very reason I didn't want to get involved with foster care. And so I just feel that one of the things that our culture needs and our country and our communities need is just to become more aware of how to get involved. There are so many different ways. And it's not just if you feel called to foster. It's not if you feel called to adopt. Even if it's helping provide a meal when families are going through the adjustment phase of bringing in their child, or just recently a lady in our community, she got a little baby boy, and she has no clothing for a little baby boy. She has all girls, and so getting clothes that you may have from, you know, maybe your children are grown, or just so many ways. And so one thing we did in our community 2 years ago, we had a conference with all the churches, a little one-evening thing with all of our churches, and we had all different kinds of adoption ministries and foster care ministries, and kind of did like a little fair where people could come and see, oh, this is how we can get involved. Oh, these are the needs in this county, and this is how I can play a part. We're right now currently working on trying to start a support group for the foster and adoptive families, because what many people don't know is that there's a lot of challenge that does come with bringing in a foster child or, you know, adopting a child from a hard place. And although it's the greatest blessing, the support system is what is so desperately needed for these families. And we're hoping to provide that in our county. So.
Yeah, you had mentioned to me that there's like 230 churches in your county. How are you trying to get those folks involved?
Well, just the funny thing is, just in a mile radius of my church, there are probably 10 churches. And if you think about, if just one family from each of those churches could do foster care or might feel called to adoption, and then if that church would come around that family and say, hey, we're going to be your network of support, we're going to help you through this. I kind of think about it like when churches come around missionaries. My parents were missionaries to Brazil. And growing up in Brazil as a child, one of the things I vividly remember is that even though my parents were the ones who felt called to going overseas and to you know, saying bye to family and to be in a different culture, churches from all over the United States came around our family and sent mission teams and sent care packages. And, you know, churches have mission offerings that supported the ministries they were trying to start. And it was just such a beautiful picture of the body of Christ coming around the missionaries and everybody playing their part in it. And for me, foster parents and adoptive parents, they're answering a call. They are living it out 24/7. And if the body of Christ, like churches all around, could come around these families and support them in that same way, it would just make a world of difference. Mm. And not only for the families who feel called, but to the children that are being brought into their homes.
Yeah, I would say foster and adoptive families are missionaries. It just so happens that their mission field is in their home. So they need just as much support and maybe more than our international missionaries that we have no problem supporting and sending care packages to and maybe visiting on occasion and supporting financially. But, you know, these folks, families right from our own churches who bring children into their home, they need just as much, if not more, support to continue to be able to walk out. Like you said, the greatest and most, you know, we're so blessed to be foster or adoptive parents. There's a lot of blessing. There's a lot of reward that goes into that. But it's also hard, and we need the support of our churches to be able to keep going. Does your church, are there other foster or adoptive families in your particular congregation?
We do have, I know of two other couples in our church. They're actually therapeutic foster parents. And so they actually bring in teenagers, which is, that is a true calling. Mm. And I've just been blessed in knowing them and knowing their journey. And, you know, you don't even think about it, but like I said, growing up in church ministry, but even the church itself, you know, if you're bringing in a child that's never been to church, just how the church helps surround these children and, you know, if there are small groups or classes, just how are we helping meet those needs of the families and of those children, whether it be to have a one-on-one person with them or someone who's going to help mentor or providing respite for that family. Just so the sky's the limit. There's so many ways if people use their gifts, like the scripture you read at the beginning. We all have some kind of gift, and we can all use it to play a part in orphan care ministry.
So, Emily, what have you learned? How has your heart changed through adoption?
When I thought about this question, I thought, how has my heart not changed because of adoption? Because there's just so many ways that the Lord has changed my heart. He's changed my heart in the way that I love. Number one, the way that I love John Lucas is no different from the way that I love Henry or Mitchell. He is my son. I always kind of say, like, I feel like I gave birth to him, but somehow I just lost a few pictures away. And that was one of the things I was scared about. And God just showed me, like, my heart can be filled with a love for a child that I didn't give birth to. It's a miracle. It's how God loves us, you know?
That's right.
And then just a love for other people, getting to know birth families through foster care. God has just convicted me. I remember sitting in the courthouse for a court case for our foster child, and God just, I must feel like I audibly heard him say, I love everyone in here just as much as I love you.
Mm.
You need to love them that way. And that was, that, you know, we tend to sometimes, well, I will speak for myself as a Christian, sometimes we get a little prideful in that, well, I would be a better parent, or I would do, and that's not, this is God's call for me as a foster parent at that moment, was to love that child where he was, but also to love that family where they were. And it was, that's been humbling and a great life lesson as well.
Yeah, certainly. And that's another mission field is struggling vulnerable families. And that's another area of ministry that our churches can get involved with.
And just even more, and also I feel like just now that my eyes are open to the need that's right outside our doors, it's just that heart to advocate and just to share with people. Because most of the time when I talk to people, the first thing they say is, well, I just didn't have any clue. I just didn't know that that was, you know, I didn't know that that was a need. They were like me. They knew about foster care and adoption, but they didn't really know. They didn't really know how they could get involved. They didn't know how they could help.
Yeah, I think we all can remember our aha moment, because there was a time that I didn't know, you know, like you, I had heard about foster care, but, and I was an adoptive parent, and I still, my eyes still had not been open to the bigger picture. But once God opened my eyes to the bigger picture, it was, became my passion to, because I realized if I, an adoptive mom, did not know that this was going on, if I didn't know that there was an orphan crisis worldwide, I didn't know there was a foster care crisis in our nation, I didn't know the number of children in foster care in my state. But once you know that, you're compelled to do something about it. And I knew that if I didn't know it before, most of the people sitting next to me in church, they don't know it either. And that became a passion, and really how our ministry started was when my eyes were open to that.
And that is exactly my heart, exactly what you're saying. Is just, you know, I encourage people, contact your local social services and ask them, how many kids do we have in foster care? They can tell you a number, you know, how many, because when we did our conference for all the churches in our county, those were the statistics we shared, and they were so eye-opening, and people had no clue.
That's right. That's right. So we need to open eyes. So as we wrap up, Emily, what is on your heart that you want our listeners to take away from our conversation today?
I feel like there are some listeners out there who may be where I used to be. And you're hearing this interview and you think, oh, well, that's a nice story. And now I know a little bit more about foster care and adoption. But then they're going to turn off the radio or turn off the broadcast and then what? And so my encouragement is just, what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do now that you know that, hey, there is a need? What's that next step? How are you going to get involved? What gift has God given you? And in that scripture, he says, hey, if you have this gift, then the next part, he says, use it, do it. To not just keep it to yourself or and to not help others. But I want to challenge ministry leaders out there. Being in church ministry, I know there is so much that is involved. But, you know, how are we leading our churches to be orphan care-minded churches? You know, when has it been addressed from the pulpit? I know right now we're at the beginning of the year. People are planning their church calendars. May is National Foster Care Month. November is National Adoption Month. There's Orphan Sunday in November. So what can you be doing now to say, hey, our church, we're going to commit to having an emphasis on this. We're going to have people come in and share a testimony. We're going to have a ministry to come share what they're doing in our area. And, you know, do you know if there are foster families in your church? Are there adoptive families in your church? How is your church supporting them? That's been one of the biggest blessings for Brandon and I, is our church family, how they have come around us and supported us and loved on us through all of this. And every family, I hope that churches would do the same for them.
Well, Emily, thank you for sharing your story and for being open to the Holy Spirit's leading. Thank you for being on the show today.
No problem. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
And thank you for listening today. If you would like to learn more and hear more from Emily, she has a blog called Splashes of Joy. You can find it at emilymwood.com. And if you enjoyed this episode of Orphans No More, you can find more on our website at justicefororphansny.org. And as podcasts on iTunes, just look for the name Orphans No More. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 by adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. To book me to speak at your church or event, you can contact me at our website, justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.